And we'll begin with invocation by Craig.
Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this evening to assemble a planning commission. We pray that Thy Spirit will guide us as we represent this community. We're thankful for that privilege and honor and opportunity. Pray that we'll be able to discuss the items on our agenda. And we say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Let's stand and recite the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Are our guests all together? Are you all part of the Rocky Mountain Power? Okay, great. Okay. You got elected. Well, we'll be discussing that in just a minute, but let's take care of our first item of business, which is to review and possibly approve the Planning Commission meeting minutes of July 11th, 2023. I know that Andy submitted some changes. I submitted some changes. Those changes have been made. Is there any other questions or issues with the minutes? Okay, can I
make a motion that we accept the minutes of July 11th, 2023 as corrected?
Second.
Okay, have a motion to approve those minutes and a second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, on to item two. Our only item on the agenda, gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, lady and gentlemen, so. So last month we actually went through this. Michael shared your presentation, the reason for doing the upgrade and so forth. So I think we're familiar. Was anybody not here last month? Craig had to miss. So do you want to do just kind of a brief recap so we just kind of get up to speed again, memories refreshed?
I did my homework, so
okay.
I'll do that on my account.
Well, I think it'll just help. I know we had a few questions, so let's just do a brief recap of not their presentation on why, but just what.
Okay. So the city's received an application for conditional use permit. This is to rebuild what's called the Judge Lane. It's a transmission line that runs from the Midway substation to the Judge substation, which is just over in Pima County. And part of this line runs in Midway City. So the line itself is 9.24 miles, and about 2.5 miles falls within the city limit. It's kind of a strange situation where it comes in and out of the city three times as it runs its course. So Rocky Mountain Power is also applying for a conditional use permit with Wasatch County. And I think that's been submitted, or is that still in? That's been submitted.
Yeah, it's submitted. It's stalled on payment right now.
Oh, is it? So I have talked to the county planner just to make sure that we're coordinating in this, and that's one lesson we learned with the last transmission application is to coordinate between the different entities. So we've been on top of this one. Doesn't seem to be quite as impactful as the last one for a number of reasons, and there's different reasons for creating this line or upgrading the line. But basically, the poles are wood, and each one of those poles will be replaced pole for pole with steel poles. And there are some switch structures that will be fiberglass. Diameter of the poles will basically remain the same, but the height will increase on an average of 10 feet. But there's really two reasons for the project. One is to reduce the probability of a utility-related wildfire, and the second is to mitigate damage to electric facilities because of wildfires. So one to prevent wildfires, another if there is one, that hopefully the infrastructure will survive the fire. And the reason for the conditional use permit, which allows Planning Commission to recommend conditions, the City Council to approve conditions, is because of two reasons. One is because the height is increasing from what's existing, and the second is because the material of the poles is going to be different from what it currently is. And their time frame is basically March of 2024 to October of 2024. They can get the approvals from both the county and the city. So here's a copy of our zoning map, and I'm kind of showing where the line will run. So stations down here next to the Medway Cemetery. Line will run north, and you can see this dotted line is our city boundary. So about this location, it comes into the city, crosses Swiss Alpine Road, and then you hit the Lundeen property where it crosses back into the county. Then as it goes up over Swiss Oaks and Lime Canyon, and it drops down to Snake Creek Road, it goes back into the county for just a little stretch. And then over the golf course, it slides back into the city limits until just north of the campground, where it goes back into the county jurisdiction. So really got three sections that we're looking at. A lot of the, some of the sloped areas aren't in the city limits, but those are the things that are gonna be most visible for Midway residents. That's one of the concerns that we had in the last meeting is what that's gonna look like. Is there gonna be any cuts on the side of the hill? If there were cuts, how would that be treated? How would those cuts be fixed? So I've talked to Travis from Rocky Mountain Power. I'm kind of giving him a heads up on the issues that the Planning Commission brought up in the last meeting. So I think there'll be some responses to that type of question. This shows a map of exactly what's in the city limits. So the yellow line is where is the parts of the line that fall within the city limits. Again, the hill areas that could be visible, though this area down here is, the ridge is actually kind of in front and the poles run behind that ridge. You can see probably more, let's see, the Swiss Oaks area is kind of elevated. That's kind of a developed area. And then it comes, most of this is flat area roughly. And so there's not a lot of hill area within the city limits is what it comes down to. And then the teal color shows what's in the county and yellow what's in the city. Some of the items, code prefers transmission lines follow historic routes, and that's the case here. Matter of fact, it's pole for pole, exactly what's been there. The code does prefer shorter poles, if at all possible. Shorter poles usually require more poles. In this case, they are replacing pole for pole. Again, same diameter, but the average height will be about 10 feet taller. And the poles will need to be metal or fiberglass because of the location of the wildland urban face area. So potential wildfire requires that type of material. Poles will be Corten steel, which is the rust colored steel that we can see throughout the valley on poles that have been replaced. So downstream Town Road, Works Lane, and 977, you see that type of pole. And those do weather and blend with their surroundings more than some of the other colors, or probably all the other color types of poles. So the steel poles, some of them are painted kind of a gray or white color. Those would really stand out in our environment more than the rust colored wood.
Before you go on, Michael?
Yeah.
So the reason for the additional height is because of fire concerns?
So I think Rocky Mountain Power can probably answer that better, but fire concerns and industry standards come into play for the height of the pole. So
do you want to go ahead and address that?
I can, if you would prefer.
Yeah,
can
you go up to the mic
one,
so
okay.
We can get
sure,
more.
No problem.
Everything.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Thank you.
So current industry standards, so that extra 10 feet is one for lightning protection. So there's a smaller wire at the very top of the pole. And then the new insulators, which are the pieces of the pole that stick out to the side, for bird protection, those are 6 feet long. So that if a large raptor were to land on them, they won't make connection with the wire and with the pole and then electrocute themselves. So for the bird protection, and then to make sure ensure that there's enough lightning protection, we had to increase the pole heights by 10 feet to ensure both of those things.
So do those fiberglass pieces extend 6 feet each side, so it's 12 feet tip to tip?
So they're going to be framed in what we call a delta configuration. So you've got, you come down the pole, you've got one that'll stick out, then you'll drop down 5 feet, then the other one will stick out, and then you'll drop another 5 feet, and then the bottom one will stick out. So you've got two on one side that are both 6 feet long, and then one on the opposite side that's 6 feet long. So it's not 12 feet all the way across because they're not level with each other.
So is that this picture up on the screen, is that it?
Yes, that would be it.
And are these being built with future expansion in mind, the need for more electrical service in Midway
or more
Park
power.
City or
this is the
yeah.
for Midway.
So I will tell you they are being built to what we consider a 138 standard because that 138 offers more air insulation, which helps mitigate the wildfire risk. Air is a very good insulator around electrical wires, so that spacing in between each of them is being increased to what we call 138 kV, but there is no plan within the 30-year plan to even ever upgrade this line to 138 kV up to the judge area. It will remain 46.
And so if you were to change from 46 to 138, would there need to be any physical changes to the poles, or is it flipping a switch?
It's not exactly flipping a switch. The whole substations on either end would have to be completely rebuilt. But the line itself, no, there wouldn't be any physical changes to the line at that point of maybe a larger wire size or something like that, where we would have to come back into you because we are changing the voltage, as I understand your permitting process, to say, hey, we now need to increase to meet the load requirements of the whole area. At that point, we would come back to you, but there isn't a plan right now to ever upgrade that line.
I haven't seen this here, so
not a problem.
You're putting in new poles and they're taller and all of that cool stuff. What effort is going to be made to keep underneath it clear?
So same that we do right now, where we're going to clear vegetation. We again, part of this is so we don't cause utility related wildfires, right? We don't want to start a fire, we don't want to burn up the mountainside. So there will be vegetation mitigation, and Travis actually can probably address that a little bit better than I can. But there still will be effort to go ahead and trim trees and cut overgrown vegetation out of there as needed.
That's good to hear, because we've lost our power more this year than I have in the last 10 and added up.
What's the width of your utility easement?
So with the 46 kV line, it's 60 feet, so it's 30 feet either side of center line.
And that already exists?
Mm-hmm. We do have easements for this line all the way from Midway to Judge.
Thank you.
Should we let Michael finish? Thank you for, somebody will probably be back up shortly, but Michael, why don't you go ahead.
Yes, one of the requirements in our code is to get a cost estimate for burying a transmission line. So the rebuild cost for just what we've described on replacing the poles pole for pole with the metal poles is $937,000. The buried total through, it's not just what's in the city limits, but it also covers the Lundin property. And the reason why that's been included is if you don't bury it through the entire stretch, you have these drop poles that are very robust poles. And they're very expensive and they're very unsightly. So it's better just bury the entire line if you're going to bury some of it. That cost does reach over $11 million. So in state code, if we were to say we want the line buried, we would have to come up with the difference between the overhead and rebuild cost and the buried cost. So really the city or another private entity would have to come up with over $10 million to bury the line. And we would have to gather those funds and pay that within 30 days of when construction begins. So if we went through this exact scenario with the Stringtown, the south line on 970 South. Some money was gathered, but not near enough to be able to bury that line. It's a pretty steep price to bury transmission lines. And so that's really what we're dealing with. They did supply an estimate, but if the city decided or a private entity decided to gather the money, it would be some pretty difficult task. Especially with our city budget is about maybe $5 or $6 million at most per year, so you can see where that falls.
We'd have to get out the credit card. There we go.
Yeah. Some possible findings for planning, planning we should consider. Falls as an administrative review and approval, so it's a conditional use permit, but it is an administrative approval. We're making sure that all the boxes are checkmarked in our code. Number two, the proposed use is a conditional use and the city may impose reasonable conditions to mitigate identified issues. So we can identify some type of issue we feel should be addressed. We can require that condition as part of this approval. The proposal includes tall